WTLC AM Indianapolis.
Indy's choice for inspiration and praise.
AM 1310, The Light.
All right, welcome back to the second half of Afternoons with Amos. Amos Brown, glad to have you here. The rest of our week is very, very busy. Tomorrow, the candidates who are running for school board from Warren Township on the east side will be here with us live talking about the issues in the school district in Warren. On Wednesday, candidates for Pike and Wayne Township School Board will be here. On Thursday, in our 1 p.m. hour, the folks from Work One, the Indiana Department of Workforce Development, we'll be here to talk about, you know, with African-American unemployment at 19 to 20%, according to last year's Census American Community Survey. What is the state's workforce development, the unemployment office? What are they doing to try to get people out of the unemployment office and back to being employed? At 2 p.m., we will talk with a Republican candidate for Congress from the 7th Congressional District, Catherine Cat Ping. On Friday, we have candidates who are running statewide. Mike Bolin in our first hour, the Democrat running for Indiana State Treasurer. Then at 2 o'clock, Beth White, the Democrat running for Indiana Secretary of State. Today, it is our 11th annual community evaluation of the 31st Circle City Classic. What was good? What was not so good? What needs to be improved upon? If you're just tuning in, most of you listening did not attend the game. Many of you did not attend the parade or other classic events. And we're at a point where the overall attendance of the classic is at its lowest ever. The game officials put out a box score of a statistical sheet of all the stats of the game, including attendance at the end of the game on Saturday, that announced attendance at 15,328. Indiana Black Expo issued a press release at approximately 12:30 this afternoon saying that they distributed 26,480 tickets. And the folks at Expo are investigating that dichotomy between 26,480 tickets distributed, which included all the tickets that Expo sold, according to the reconciliation from the stadium box office. But that also means there could have been as many as 11,152 no-shows. But by any metric, attendance at the Classic has fallen precipitously over the last 3 years. It had been steady in about 32 to 37,000 from 2012, 2011, 2010, and 2009. It dropped after 2008 and after the 2008 Classic. That's when the Great Recession hit. So the Classic had been in the 30,000, the mid-30,000 range through 2012, and attendance has fallen precipitously. That coupled with reduced attendance over the last couple of years at Summer Celebration, Indiana Black Expo, that has had direct responsibility now for the Classic and Summer Celebration for the last 4 to 5 years, there's some of us that believe it is in a crisis mode. And the people ultimately responsible are not the staff. It is the board of directors, 30 men and women, headed by a gentleman by the name of Greg Wilson, who is the director of Minority and Women and Veterans Business Affairs for Mayor Greg Ballard. He is the current board chair. That board is morally responsible for Expo and the Classic. They are legally responsible for Expo and the Classic. Any changes that are made, they have to sign off on it. And we've heard a lot of good suggestions in our first hour, and we know we'll hear some more. But the ultimate where the community needs to direct their attention, in my view, and the group that needs to be open and upfront with the community, is the board of directors. They are the most invisible group of folk around. You don't see them. You don't hear them. They don't weigh in on this effort. And it was not the case back in the day. But it is the case now. And that needs to change quickly. Anyway, 239-1310, 239-1310. Regulars are being limited to 1 minute or less. We want to hear from as many voices as possible. You can send me an email at praiseindy.com or a text message at 37890, keyword Amos. Let's pick back up to the phones and Tony. Hi, Tony. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, Amos. How you doing? I'm at McDonald's. But I do want to say this real quick. Did you guys hear before they walked in, the day before the Circle City Classic, Mrs. Lucas?
Yes.
Did you hear the comment that she said? And was it viable to us to stop, to halt everything and say, okay, let's get the signs out. Let's get the, you know.
I said this at, in our first hour. I am aware of the statements that Charlotte Lucas, the number two person in Lucas Oil, made. We have a detailed story about that on our website, praiseindy.com. Credit needs to go to Rafael Sanchez of Channel 6, who broke the story, so many who don't watch Channel 6 aren't aware of her comments that were insensitive at worst and ridiculous at best. She said on Facebook, which has now been deleted, quote, I'm sick and tired of minorities running our country. As far as I'm concerned, I don't think that atheists, minority, Muslims, minority, or any other minority group has the right to tell the majority of the people in the United States what they can and cannot do here. Is everyone so scared that they can't fight back for what is right or wrong with his country? End of quote. She since has apologized for her, quote, insensitive comments posted on my Facebook page. She says, my comments did not reflect my personal views about any individual or minority group, only my frustration that our government system sometimes seems out of balance. End of quote. My thing is a couple things. First of all, understand the money that Lucas Oil gave to put their name on the stadium didn't go to government, didn't go to the stadium people. That went to the Colts. That's Colts money. The government didn't get that money. On the other side of the coin, there are little things that we can do. I said at the beginning of this program that until I get some clarification from Ms. Lucas what she means, I don't know because her attorney put out a statement that says they provide significant financial support for a broad range of organizations to serve the needs of minority groups. Fairness and equality are core values of our company. I don't know whether there's African Americans who work for Lucas Oil. I don't know whether there are African Americans who are in management at Lucas Oil. I don't know what kind of generosity they provide organizations that serve our African American community. So until I find out that information, I'm only going to refer to the stadium as the stadium. I'm going to leave Lucas or that name out of it. It's just the stadium. But we're also a radio station that shines the light through the word as well as the music. And my faith tradition believes in forgiveness and redemption. So at the point in which Ms. Lucas wants to come and get some forgiveness and redemption, door will always be open to her. 239-1310. 239-1310. Let me go back to the phones. And Mayhem, you have 1 minute flat.
Hey, how's it going?
Fine.
What's going on? Personal agenda is standing in the way of business and it's killing it. And what you need to do, have the board on your show and ask them why they're killing that. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, the board is welcome to come because we like to know what are they going to do, you know, with the future of the Classic and Expo. Let me go to Don. Don, you got 1 minute flat.
Hey, well, how you doing, Amos?
Fine.
Hey, this black community is like Rip Van Winkle. They need to wake up. It's like, you know, Ray Charles can see what's going on here. Like, you see it with your own two eyes, Amos. And eventually what's going to happen is they want that spot. You know who they are. So they can bring in some revenue into the city. They're not bringing any revenue. It's sort of sad that we don't support things. Black people just don't support anything. And when you don't support it, this is what you get. So, like I'm always saying, I know you get upset when I say it loud, I'm black and I'm ashamed, but I speak for the older people because I know they're ashamed. I'm ashamed. Say it loud, I'm black and I'm ashamed. This is sad. And this black community needs to get the head out the ground and really search itself. Thank you.
All right, let me go to Shay at 239-1310. Hi there. Shay? Shay, I need you to turn your radio down and listen to the phone.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Amos. Hi. My name is Shay, and I really love your show.
Thank you.
I'm 30 years old, and my husband and I, we attended the Classic, and we just go for the Battle of the Bands and to support, you know, the black event. But I think they should really survey, like, the youth. They should have more stuff for the youth. like free things, like maybe bring an entertainer or something, and I think they would come out. We need to survey the people that didn't attend, and I think complaining and stuff really doesn't help anything.
If you, when you talk to people and you said you and your husband were going to the Classic, you know, did you get any feedback saying, oh, that's played out, I don't want to go?
Yeah, I think if they're afraid of the crime and too, they can't afford it.
See, that also comes back, and I saw some of this in some comments on my Facebook page, that this crime, even though Classic over 31 years has been virtually crime-free.
Did you notice, though, that they had two paddy wagons out there and the police, like, station thing, like a trailer thing by Circle Center Mall? That's very intimidating, and it just didn't look good. But I was thinking about Baby Delano and the little girl from Ben Davis. I was like, well, I guess it may be necessary. You know, those people are still out there.
You know, it's interesting, unlike Summer Celebration, where the police held those press conferences and say, we're not going to tolerate trouble, there's not going to be trouble downtown, there was no press conference like that, or any kind of mention of, if you misbehave downtown, all the police will be down there, in leading up to the Classic. So it was almost like law enforcement wasn't sending a signal of stay away.
Yeah.
You know, I just think it permeates people's consciousness. And again, this goes back to the board.
Yeah.
See, notice how I'm bringing back
on
to
that board.
Well, no,
bring an entertainer and get like where the vendors were, make like the fair, like the $2, they have $2 items, you know, because, and we just really need to come out and support. You have to put a lot on the people too. They are not coming out and supporting. So you can complain, but we as black people, we need to come out and support. And encourage other people to come too.
But here's the other thing is if people will support something either that they believe in or they feel is worth the investment of their time. First of all, everybody that braved the weather to come out to the parade, somebody ought to give, if there was a way they could print up 15,000-20,000 t-shirts that said, I survived the cold parade of 2013, they ought to do that. There ought to be some recognition for those people that came out and braved. I saw more interesting-looking blankets. I took one picture of somebody that an adult wearing their child's SpongeBob blanket. Now, you know...
Do you think it comes down to funds, though? Like someone said, they're limited on funds. Like they did the best they could do with what they had.
Absolutely. Like, I think it's part of that. Going back to the violence thing, you know, if the board of directors of Expo, instead of beating up the recorder, did they go down? Did they go to the Star? Did they go to Channel 6, 8, 13, and 59 and said, we are tired of every time you cover Expo and Classic, you're running pictures of violence that didn't even occur at their event? Did they go down there and stamp their feet and yell at them? No, they went and beat up on the black newspaper. They tried to beat up on me. And I'm not the one that's scaring people away from going to the events. The recorder's not the one. But that board of directors is sitting here, and they don't understand that among some people, the fear is keeping them home. What have they done to correct that? It all comes back to, and I know some of these board members are listening now and fuming. What have you done to turn this thing around? And the door is open for you. We've got room to put all 30 board members on this program so you can talk to the community and tell them, as you say on Different Struggle, what you gonna do, Willis? What you gonna do?
If you can at least get one of them to call in sometime this week or today just to give some answers or, you know, to what they're gonna do, like you said.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. Let me go back to the phones. And April, hi there.
Amos, I did not attend, and I have been for years, and it's simply, not that I can't afford it, I'm just not in touch with the colleges. At average, a daily basis, I mean, as far as my kids are concerned, I don't hear about these, about our African American colleges and fraternities and sororities. There's a disconnect there. You know, I'm not, it's not there. And so, So it's just kind of out of sight, out of mind. And then you kind of think, I don't know, it just seems a little outdated. So I agree with the caller before you, but kind of do something to close the gap there. Thank you, Raymond.
All right, thank you. That's a great suggestion. 239-13, and that's one of the reasons for the program, because some of the best suggestions on what should we do to turn it around, should be able to do that. 239-1310, 239-1310. I got an email note, said, Amos, what did the Indiana Black Expo Circle City Classic Task Force find, plan, and execute to change things? Now, a year and a half ago, Dr. Woody Myers, the first African-American to serve as director of the Indiana State Department of Health, then went on to New York City to be the director of public health there, and then went on to California, went on to work for Ford Motor Company, then he went on to work for WellPoint, becoming the head of the medical professional at WellPoint Insurance Company, and then kind of retired and came back home to Indianapolis. He joined the board of Indiana Black Expo, and after the 2012 Classic, Woody Myers was made in charge of a committee that included some members of the board of Expo and some people in the community to try to figure out where the Classic should go, not just for last year's game, but for future games. And a report was put together and was distributed to the Expo board last June of 2013. And it was Dr. Myers, who has since left Indiana and is now running a company called Covantis, I believe is the name, that provides medical services to prisons and correctional institutions across the country. It was Dr. Myers' hope that not only would that report be shared with the entire board, but shared with the community. That report has never been shared with the community. I was given a copy on the promise to keep it private until it was shared with the community by the board of Indiana Black Expo. In fact, Drew, I looked at the report this morning. I almost forgot I had it. It's an interesting report. It's about 20 pages long. It had some things in there I agreed with for improving it. Had some things that I disagreed with, but I'm not opposed to trying them. I mean, when you're at a state where we're down to 15,000 people in the stadium, it's time to try anything. So if that report was given to the board in June of 2013, that's 15 months ago. Greg Wilson and the 30 members of the Black Expo Board, why has that report not been made public? Why have you not shared with the community? Dr. Myers, great man, he and the other people that were on that committee, blacks and whites, what they came up with? Did you all adopt anything in the report? Did you reject the report? There's some things on there that need to be raised and discussed as to making this thing better. Why have you not made it public? There's nothing embarrassing in the report. There's no trade secrets in the report. There's nothing negative in the report. The report is all positive. So why is it a big secret? You can't expect the community to support you and embrace you if you're keeping things from us. Back to the phones and Sean right quick. Hi, Sean.
Hey, Amos. I want to say God bless you, man. I've been a big fan of yours for a long time.
Thank you.
Well, I agree with you 100%, Amos. You know, the board needs to step up and open the books and let these people know, let the community know what you're trying to cover up, because at the end, it's going to be the Southern Celebration, and it's going to be the Classic that's going to suffer. Thanks, Amos.
I appreciate it. We'll take a break. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. All it takes is an email from the board of Indiana Black Expo saying, Amos, we'd love the community to read about that report. All it takes is a little email, five words. Go ahead and publish it. But the basic question is, what was good, what was not so good about this year's Circle City Classic? What do you need? What does it take to improve it? If you didn't attend, what would it take to get you to come back? Or is it time to end it? Because with the lowest classic attendance ever, something got to give. Something's got to change after these.
Hello, this is Tanya Bell, President and CEO of Indiana Black Expo, and you are listening to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310 The Light, Indy's source for inspiration and praise.
Back to the phones in Rose. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. How are you?
I'm fine.
How much was the tickets to that expo?
The tickets to the classic started at $10, went all the way up, I think, to $50.
Okay. I was just wondering if they couldn't have figured a way to have family packets and things. People with children now. And nobody has really paid attention, to be honest, to tell the truth, to how bad it is for the people who have worked and retirees and grandparents who helped to get their children to those expos. We've lost so much money. We've lost our annuities. We've lost much of our savings, and we don't have a job. And they have, you know, the taxes and so forth. But here's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Why in the world didn't they just stop and figure out how they could have a package for families? Most of our families right now in this Marion County in the inner city, You're making less than $20,000 a year for taking care of your children in your home. And you can't very well afford to go to these things anymore. It's a lot of people can, but if you notice, most of the jobs in this city, the good jobs, are occupied by the people out of town. If you look at the news in the morning,
mm-hmm.
you watch and see where this traffic is. Indianapolis don't have to worry about it here in Marion County. All our streets have to be opened up so they can come in and go to those jobs.
You know, you made some good points. I think this year the discount was like buy a $40 ticket and get a $40 ticket for free. They did not do the discounts where it was designed for a family.
Right.
Where it was designed for four, you know, buy two, get two free, so it allows four people.
Right.
To go. That's a good point. I also got something on my Twitter account that says, you know, that anybody that wants to sponsor the Classic would have to buy at least 100 tickets for high school students mm-hmm. to attend the game. They also thought to explore providing people that go to the college fair.
Well, the opportunity to go to the game. This leaves out the poor class. Most people have forgotten that there are those of us who are retired. We have children and grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
And our children are not making very much money. And that's the truth. They make barely to make it. And without our help, like the annuities and all that money that we lost with that breakdown,
I do not disagree with you at all, my sister. Those are excellent suggestions. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it. Let me go to Miss Ann at 239-1310. Hi there.
Amos, thank you for taking my call.
All right, now you're a regular, so I got to limit you to 1 minute to be fair to everybody trying to get as many new voices. But go ahead, Miss Ann, real quick.
I have a comment.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm concerned about the board members. I think they're heading towards doing what the mayor and his cronies want. And I also am very, very concerned about the people and their attitudes. I used to work downtown with the people that are the restaurants and so forth downtown. I know many people will not go because of that, and I'm one of the people. I just can't, I think, and then the police with that seeming like everybody needs to go to jail with all this stuff. They don't do that when you go out to the races.
Mm-hmm.
These things need to be handled differently. And the lady's right. There are those of us, and I'm one of these retired people,
mm-hmm.
my husband and I, we can't afford to do anything except send our children. We can't all go anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank you for taking the time to listen to me. And that board, they need to get some of those married people off of there. And I think they also are concerned, Amos, that maybe they want certain people to come. I'm concerned about that, too. Thank you. All right.
Good points. Let me go to Vernon right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, Amos. How are you doing, sir?
I'm fine.
I'll make a quick comment. For one, I think, and just to be honest with you from my point of view, Classic is boring. I think it's time for it to evolve. It needs to be more diverse. It's the same old stuff every year, so to speak.
When you say diverse, are you one in the camp of black school playing white school?
More so, yes. I mean, because if we keep isolating ourselves as a black community, we're always going to be isolated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's time for us to get out of that old age and start, you know, embracing, you know, diversity, because that's the only way we're going to grow.
Well, you know, the way IU or Ball State's been playing, Tennessee State could beat either one of them.
Yes, that's true. I don't think it'll hurt to embrace other cultures, the Hispanic community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just make it more about people and less about one specific culture.
All right. Great point, my brother. I appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. Let me go back to the phones and anonymous. Hi there.
Yes. Good afternoon, Amos.
Good afternoon.
I just wanted to say briefly, you know, in thinking about the IB summer celebration and the classic, especially in the recent years in the current administration, I just think that the poor leadership has led to fewer sponsorships, and that's where you're getting your funding to bring in the schools and the entertainment and all the things that you need to do. When you lose major sponsorships, I mean, that's a major issue. I think the poor leadership has led to broken relationships and partnerships within our, you know, black community. And I think that has shown up even more so in the last couple of years or so, especially with the communication with the recorder that, you know, so many people, you know, depend on and rely on. And for the one speaker that mentioned Shannon, you know, I don't think the recorder or any reporter, you know, should be condemned for reporting the truth. I think also the poor leadership has led to poor communication within our community. I think, you know, the leadership has led to anytime you have leadership where there is an issue with trustworthiness, and we see that even in the recent report for the Classic this year, to say it was a success, you know, would have, you know, them to think that we're all blind and we can see whether you were there or not, whether you rode your car through downtown, you could see that the crowds were much, much smaller.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe there should be restructure. I think there should be restructure with the board. I think that Mr. Wilson and Tanya should be replaced. I think that they both are very good friends of the mayor, and I feel that they both are probably in the hip pocket of the mayor. And when you say that, you know, IBE is our organization, our you know, we started it, I think that is true that we started it. But I think in recent years, I think it's been ran more by the mayor's office than anyone else. I think there's still internal issues with the organization, and you recently had some key individuals to walk off the job. Again, that goes back to leadership. You know, when people get so frustrated and they feel like they're not being heard even from the inside, I mean, and it's obvious that the community, we don't feel like we're being heard. Like you said, we haven't heard from the board or anyone, and we keep having these, you know, follow-up recaps. But what comes of it? You know, they get our feedback, and where does it go? You know, it lands on deaf ears. And even the board members that were almost hand-selected by the CEO, I think they need to be removed also, because that renders your board dysfunctional, because they're not going to remove someone to place them on the board.
I think that one of the other problems, and the listeners need to know, that a number of board members, since Indiana Black Expo is a statewide organization, there are a number of board members that represent other parts of the state, southwest, you know, the Evansville area, the Fort Wayne area, the Gary area, the Elkhart area. And one of the problems is those board members quite properly feel, hey, our communities are important, and I get that and I respect that, but they also need to understand the largest African-American community in Indiana is in Indianapolis. This thing is going to win or lose based upon the support of the 300,000 African Americans in the Indianapolis metropolitan area, which is literally almost half of the total African American population of the state. The other thing is, those out-of-town board members don't communicate with the folks in the largest African American community. We love the ideal thing, and since I know Mr. Wilson, and I know the leadership of Expo are in Classic are listening right now. You all have an open invitation. We can do the show in our big conference room upstairs, so the community can hear from the board, and the board can hear from the community. Are y'all down with it, Expo board? Are y'all with it, Expo board? Are y'all with the opportunity to talk to the people who birthed this organization? You all, we gave it to you all in trust. And the least you could do is come talk to the trustees and let us know what kind of job are you doing with our child, with our darling, Expo and Classic. I hope they take me up on my offer in November or December. 239-1310. We'll take a break. We'll be back with our remaining moments. Thank you, Anonymous, for that. More after these.
This is Greg Ballard, Mayor of Indianapolis, and you are listening to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light. Indy's source for inspiration and praise.
All right, an email at praiseindy.com. Well, the Amos, the 800-pound gorilla in the room, is the failure of Classic and Expo is leadership. They are failing the community as there is a loss of buy-in and market. Got a text message to 37890, keyword Amos. Absolutely disagree with the caller about expanding diversity. Black culture presented in a positive light is equally as important as the Latino and LGBT communities. IBE must return to embracing the enthusiasm for inclusiveness, for growth, and our elder community leaders as the late Reverend Charles Williams did. Until then, attendance will keep declining. 239-1310, back to the phones in Lawrence. Hi there.
Oh, hello, Amos.
How are you?
All right, I have a comment and a question.
Yeah.
My comment is this. Indianapolis Star last week, they said there was 30 other type events at the Circle City Classic.
That's correct.
Well, it seems to me that if there's 30 other events that's going on up other places at other times, it just seems to me that there was not a walk in the park for them either. I mean, they must have had ups and downs, times when people didn't come out, times when tickets didn't sell.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how did they rebound for this?
That's a great question. I know Atlanta had their classic also on Saturday. South Carolina State, North Carolina A&T, they only did 24,400 people in the Georgia Dome, which holds 71,000. So that's not a good look. And they had Ludacris. They had a high school battle of the bands. They had a regular battle of the bands. They had concerts. They had a whole bunch of stuff, and they could only draw 24,000 in an area. Atlanta's got 1.3 million black folk. Jeez Louise. Back to the phones. Thank you, Lawrence and Terry. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Amos. How are you?
I'm fine.
Thank you for, again, having the follow-up program. It's very good.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes. I want to address a few points as quickly as I can.
Okay.
Political. People in this community, we know who we are. We continue to vote for the same types of persons that will lie to us, stab us in the back, do things that are detrimental to our community. And one of them, as an example, folks, is the sellout of the parking meters downtown. Economic. Stop running like the Flintstones when they started up their cars to go to department stores and to other events and not support people of color. The vendors come from many places around this country to bring things to you that you can't get here every day. If you don't want to go to the games, if you don't want to go inside Summer Celebration, at least you can go sometimes or send your children, your grandchildren, somebody to support the vendors that bring things for us that, again, can't get here every day.
Okay.
Social.
Mm-hmm.
The Circle City Classic, the Summer Celebration, and many other activities are for you socially, for your guests, your family, and friends. Make sure there are traditions that you have that are social so that there are people who want to go to events in the future because they heard of them when they were younger, they heard of them from people here. If they live out of town, invite them. Do not let someone say to you, hey, you should include other people in your events, when almost none of the televised football games, almost none of the schedules for the schools in October include HBCUs at their football games, but someone wants them to include other schools at HBCU-sponsored games? No, it's not a good idea. Last but least, folks,
mm-hmm.
I went downtown late on Saturday. I watched the game on the parade on television.
Right.
I went downtown. Unfortunately, because of the weather, thousands of people were not there to support the food and material vendors. I spent the dollars that I could, some in front of the dome,
right,
some on Georgia Street, because there were people there that needed my dollars.
Mm-hmm.
The stores here didn't need my dollars as much as those people. If you don't support people, why should they bring you what you want for variety and for diversity?
If
you don't get off your behinds, support people, and also go and register and vote.
There you go.
Why should you get what you want?
All right, great points, my brother. Let me go to Denise right quick at 239-1310. Denise, you got about a minute.
Hi, Amos. My comment is, I was bored. I think that the Battle of the Bands, that's what I went for, not the football in particular. I think they should have been watching the tapes for Grambling State University's bands and the previous bands that came from the schools so that they should know how to battle. It was boring. It could have been more exciting. I disagree with inviting other cultures to these events. I see them on television. I can go to their event if I want to. I'm not displayed at their events. And lastly, I thought that the vendors, if you're coming there to sell your merchandise and if you want to discount it, that should happen. It should be their decision. I purchased some things and he wanted full price for it, and I was like, no, this is what I'll give you. He accepted, and I left a happy camper.
There
Thank
you go.
You.
You know, and Denise, you raised a point because I think people used to expect in the Battle of the Bands a battle, the drum lines circling each other, that kind of thing. And I think the last several years, the Battle of the Bands has basically been what you would see if you were at the football game, and instead the halftime show is on TV. The one band comes out and they play for 10 minutes. The next band comes out and they play for 10. And that's it. That's not what people expect when you hear Battle of the Bands. Let me go to Tamika right quick at 239-1310. Hi there. Tamika? Tamika going once? Tamika going twice? Oh, Tamika! Well, I could hear noise. Maybe Tamika was one of those hard-working classic volunteers, and they were still just tired from the weekend. And we do need to say there were a lot of volunteers, whether it was at the parade, whether it was at the game, whether it's at – let's see if we can see one more. They need to be commended. They need to be thanked for their service. So any of these discussions about leadership and what have you, that is not to knock or be negative towards the hard work of the volunteers. The other thing on parade, maybe there would be more people watching the parade if the parade would tell us who in the heck is going to be in the parade in advance. Let me go to Eric right quick. Eric, you got about a minute.
Yes, I think a couple of things we need to consider is that, one, they've already been talked about, and I do believe that they're is some backlash from the leadership at Black Expo, or should I say the lack thereof. And two, I do believe that from a national perspective, I think that Black America is still suffering economically with the lack of actions for job creation out of our Congress, and it begins to show itself on the local level.
That's a great point, because you're right, with other classics suffering, depending upon
exactly.
The community, that those are great points. And I don't think in any of the discussion there has really been any detailed economic analysis. I mean, we see it when we said the number of African Americans in poverty was up. African American unemployment is still 19-20%. It was not that before 2008.
Yes, I think you see a Black community that is doing what it can.
All right. Good points, my brother. Julie will be the last word in this year's evaluation of the 31st Circle City Classic. Hi, Julie.
Hi. I just think that someone did mention a keyword as far as diversity. There needs to be probably more of that. If you look at the new show on TV now called Blackish,
yeah.
I don't think people even have that same sense of Black pride that they used to once have.
Mm-hmm.
Central State is actually my alma mater, and they used to have an awesome band. But I just think it's starts from the top down. Someone had mentioned as far as leadership and having great sponsors. You have to have that sense of pride in our community again, I think, is where it has to begin.
That is a great point. That's a great way to end the discussion. Thanks to all of you that participated as well. And if you missed any of this, it'll be on the website by this evening, praiseindy.com.